listening is once when we listen, there's a space, so it's empty. So listening, and when there's listening, it's empty. And the struggles that usually we experience, good evening, Yanis, the struggles is coming as a consequence. When there's struggle happening, Shabbat Shalom, Cindy, when strugglings feels to you already happening, it means that the thought process is there already. Not just to you, to all of us. Once we struggle, or there's a sense of struggle, the mental process of the thinking is going on, the machine is going on. So, and this is a produced struggle. Yes, it's a production. Like you produce a video or you produce a product. So there's a time, there's like matrix of time, and there's like, without time, you don't have a process. And the, how do you say, what the brain does is just reflect the space time matrix. And in it, there's always struggle. It doesn't matter of now who is thinking or what is appear to be thinking inside it and appearing on the screen inside of the head. It doesn't matter. So against this struggle, the constant struggle that each and every one has, Yanis has this beautiful question. Yes? Yanis has this beautiful question with Shlomo. She asked beautiful question about it. It's just listening. When we listen to each other, but listen. There's emptiness. Shalom, Yanis. There's emptiness. And this is the real thing. This is the truth. So against, or because people struggle a lot, regardless of where they are located or culture, where they're coming from, they're struggling because the brain is always processing. And what the brain does, this beautiful artifact, it just splits. It's like an arrow, splits reality into two and opposite to two against each other. And this is, we are all already caught in the struggle. Yes. But it's not that we have a choice. This is how it's the system, it's built in everyone. So the relief from this struggle is just being together and listening to each other. And then it does not appear. It's just, how do you say, being pushed to the walls. Yes, it's not there because there's listening. What the brain does not like is to listen. Does not like it. The brain will always come up with a show of knowing, yes, of knowing everything. The brain has a good script about everything. Everything in the world has a script, has opinion, and so the brain does not like to listen. So it exists. This is a built-in mechanism. Yes, in all of us. You can ask why there's a built-in mechanism. That this built-in mechanism helps the figure, so to speak, what we identify as a figure to run, yes, as a character in this movie called Life. Yes? But once when we appear in those conversations, in those spaces, and we're listening, and we see that it's like a slave. What they say about money. Money, yes, can assist, but it cannot be your master. So the brain and the seeking mechanism can help bridging gaps. Yes, when it's needed, when you need to calculate, use it as a calculating machine, but is not your master. This is how it is. So when we come here and we share the space, just you disable it. Because in listening, there's only one or not two. It depends of how you call it. Yeah? In listening, There's a beautiful verse in the Bible. Listen, Israel, the being is one. Being is one. And the being you can express, you can experience non-duality or one, depends on how you want to call it, only when there's listening happening. This is it. Because all the rest is just you don't have to open CNN. You don't have to go to Fox News. The moment you open your eyes in the morning, there already there's a download of shit. The brain will, you don't have to click a button on the phone or on TV, radio, what people usually do. Listen, it's just once you wake up in the morning, there's a broadcast that comes there, a download, and it starts. So you don't listen to it. This is it. Because it's a closed system. Listening to one's own brain is a closed system. Like they say about, how do you say, once people used to put a camera, I don't know how the English goes, doesn't come to me, but in a closed circle camera, that you put a camera in a building to see who's coming, if there are like unwanted visitors. It's a closed system. I don't know the English term for now. Like, so the brain is a closed system. And it doesn't like, what it doesn't like, yes, yes, security, yes. Yeah, but we call it in Hebrew, the translation in Hebrew is great because it says televisia, b'ma'agal sagur, in a closed circuit. There's no input. The brain, yes, does not receive any input. It just takes output and throw it on the screen inside. Yes? Yes. Very good, Yanis. Excellent. Very good. This is closed circuit security system. Excellent. This is what the brain does. This is why it's going to tell you that us that we shall die one day. Yes? So, yes, this is what it does. Always shows you, you don't need to open TV. You don't need to go anywhere. It is already, once you open your eyes, you have the full set, you have the full magazine download. Yes. And it's a closed system. It never shows you or inform you or revive you with something that you don't know or not familiar. It will always show the same play over and over again. And the play is always about you. So it's a closed system. So whatever we do, we speak about it because it happens to everyone. So whatever you do doesn't matter. The circuit, it's just closed and always shows the same books or the same thoughts or the same directions. Unless if listening comes. If listening comes, it breaks the closed circuit. Something new can come in. If there's a space, like in the post box, there's like a slit, how to say, there's a space, like a rectangular space when you put, I don't know if people use today those boxes, but in the red boxes in Israel, like in Britain, but I guess in every way, everywhere there are like post boxes. So there's a space and you put a letter inside. So if there's a space and the space comes only when there's listening, new thing can come. It's not even a thing, it's truth can come in. Because what the brain does is exhibition of lies show. Lies show. This is what the brain does. The information that it brings, the story, it's always limited to what this machine can take in as an input in space and time. So it's very, very, very limited. This is why the scenarios that he will bring in front of you 24/7 is trouble and struggle. This is it is programmed to do so. It is programmed. It's built in. You cannot take a pill. You cannot smoke a weed to stop it. It is built in, programmed in the system. So what we do, we listen. And then it stops. It does not exist when there's listening. It just, how do you say, magically disappears. Very simple. Any questions? Cindy, Gladys, Jill, Yanis, you can unmute and speak. So, if you have a sense of struggle inside, it's not yours. It's not private. This is how the machine is built. Listen to a different input. And then it just dissolves. It's very simple. It's simpler than you think. This is why for generations there are conversations, yes? This is the core truth. The core truth is nothing. But lies, how the lies mechanism works, there's something. This is how the lies work. There's something, yes? There's something, a detail that you don't know about this politician, and everybody's now looking what kind of detail they didn't know about this politician, about this football team, basketball team, a secret. But the truth is nothing. This is why nobody is looking for the truth. Because the truth is nothing. It's undressed. It's not something. It's nothing. This is why in the Bible we find the sentence, and Adam his wife were naked and they were not ashamed. What does it mean, naked? They did not have a dogma, yes, agenda. Concept, yes, and then comes the serpent. I'll give you a concept. And the concept is that you'll be like God or as God. They were naked, they did not have any concept or agenda. Truth. But immediately come the serpent. You need a concept. I'll give you one. Yes? The brain. I'll give you one. Yes. Yanis, besides the space, what else would you recommend to listen? Beside this space, there's like conversations by Ramesh Balsekar. Ramesh Balsekar from India. There's recorded conversation. Ramesh Balsekar. I write it here. Ramesh Balsekar. You can listen to conversations in English. Those conversations were recorded in his home in India. In his living room, when he speaks to, he hosts in his living room many listeners. And there's always one or two sitting in the front seat in front of him and asking questions, and he answers. So there is conversation. There is a conversation. It's about listening. It's not lecturing them. Yes? Someone speaks and there's like mute wall and people just obey and receive. No, there's conversation. Only in conversation, truth can come out. So there's Ramesh Balsaka. There are many, many conversations of his that were recorded when he was still alive. And there's like current great speaker in North America, in California. His name is Paul Hederman. Paul Hederman. I'll write a name here that you could find here. Hederman. Yes, I wrote it. Yes. He comes from the background of addiction to alcohol and drug using. Yes. His life was set in a way that the only thing that could stop the sinking and the torture was a beer that was offered to him when he was 11, 12, 8. He came from a football or some kind of a sport and a friend offered him. And suddenly he noticed that when he drinks beer, it does a relief from this torture, from the over. He's intelligent, so the thinking started rapidly moved and he did not find any pieces. He noticed there's alcohol just for a moment shuts him down, but it's not never enough. Another alcohol and then moving to drug using and so. It's quite interesting. After many years, he went out from this course. He was hit by a car. You will listen to his story. You can read about his story. He speaks the truth. Very blunt. Some people have a problem of being exposed to the language because he's very honest. And he speaks directly the truth. So this is about Paul Hederman. I mention him now because he is giving conversations 5 times per week. And there are many recorded conversations of him. He has a site. So you can find his conversations on YouTube. There is a site. If you write or Google Paul Hederman, there is a site of his. So you can also watch those conversations. There are videos and there's also option to choose only audio, how you find yourself comfortable. He speaks the truth, yes. So he gives 5 conversations per week. 2 of them he gives to people who are recovery, yes. 2 of those are recovery conversation, 12 steps to help people to prevent or return from drinking alcohol or drug. And the 3 other conversations per week are non-duality, so you could listen to him as well. Of course, if you want to read books, you can. There are books that we put here on Discord. There's the Maharaj book is here. Ramesh Balsakar, great, great, great teacher. There are 30 books that he wrote, or people were attending those conversations and they just wrote a briefing of those books. So there are 30 books by Ramesh Balsakar, many, many conversations. There's like 3 books by Paul Hederman and many, many conversations as videos, as audio. And he give even today, yes, Saturday in California. Yes. So, whatever fits you. Yes, Cindy. Yes, I see. Yes. A About whom do you write, Cindy? About whom do you write? Yeah, it might be. Yes. Yes. He lives in California. Yes. I don't know. I don't know. He lives with Emilia. She was born in Italy and yes. So you can search for him. Paul Hederman, he also wrote books, 3 books about non-duality. Beautiful. If you can listen, some people, they have this, they're being drawn back because the language is blunt. But he speaks the truth. Speaks the truth. Questions? Yanis, Jill, Gladys, Cindy, questions? The beauty of it, there is no story. The story comes as narration offered to us by the machine called brain. So when it's working on, we are susceptible to receive that the story which is coming from there is an absolute truth, but it's not. It's just not. And the more we listen, we notice that the story is like a made up story. Yes, and there's a relief from this made up story. Yes. There's a beautiful book by Maharaj, people who participated in Maharaj. Maharaj was, let's say that Ramesh Balsekar was participating in Maharaj conversations in the 70s. So people who came from the West to India and participate in those conversations in Maharaj room also wrote a book, I Am That. Beautiful, beautiful book. For some people, it's very hard to accept, but it's the truth. We also put, I think, a PDF here. On the books, there is, you can look for it. So there are books by Ramesh, there are books by Paul Hederman. There's a beautiful book by those who were listening to Maharaj, I Am That. And there's like British men who followed the through his life, he managed to go to India. I think that his name is Gray. Also, we put few books of his, I think 8. He changed his name. His name is Gray, but when he wrote his book, those books, another name appears. But his name is Gray. He wrote 8 books. He came from Britain. He was in France, and then he moved to Asia. Very, very interesting. If you're interested in it, it's about the truth. The truth is empty. So what really kicks people, people are being kicked when they're reading those books. Why? Because they can never get something from the book. It doesn't matter if Wu Wei is the author name of Mr. Gray or all those books. Okay. Paul and Emilia, yes? Paul had a man and Emilia with 4 children. Yeah? So what makes people mad when they're trying to read those books? And it doesn't matter of whom. There's a beautiful book by Ramesh, Who Cares? That Paul Hederman once was reading this book and following the reading of this book, he came to India to visit Ramesh Balsekar in his living room. So if you want to look, there is a chain of deliverance if you want to look at it. Also, another one that was visiting Ramesh Balsekar in his conversations in the living room was Leonard Cohen. Leonard Cohen.
Yes.
He came to see Ramesh after 7 years in a monastery. So, where were we? People are getting really... Hello, Fernando. Shabbat shalom. People are really... You were listening, if you have the time, Fernando, you were listening to Paul Hederman. We were just speaking how to stop this narration of the brain. And I was saying to listen to the truth. And people ask, where else can we listen? So I gave you names. What really makes people upset is when you offer them the list of books about non-duality. Now, it doesn't matter who wrote them, Paul or Ramesh or Wu Wei, which is Mr. Gray, or Maharaj, it doesn't matter, or even Maharshi. They get pissed. Why do they get pissed? They cannot get anything from the book. It doesn't matter, they read the whole book, yes, and then again, and they can never get anything. This is the whole point. Truth is nothing. So what usually people do when they read literature, any kind of literature, whether it's like beautiful literature, novel, or even research, the reading itself is like invitation to get something. Knowledge, experience, interest. When you read those books, you never get anything. It's just also Course of Miracles, yes? Another example. It just breaks your head. It just breaks your head. You cannot continue because it's built to shatter you. You cannot operate this rational thinking. Also, Vinery book. Roots of the Bible. The English is not... I always ask people who already accepted the invitation to read the book, how do you manage the English? Not because people are coming from another background, as let's say French or Italian, because how do you manage with? Because you cannot stomach it. What you cannot get anything from it. And Vinery said that he wrote this book in a way that nobody could copy and paste, meaning you cannot get anything of this. So this is interesting because you can see those who speak the truth, you can never copy paste it. You cannot make something of it. Truth is not a thing. It cannot become. You cannot make something of it. This is why people are so pissed. Paul was saying once that people participated in his conversation and they brought a pen and paper or pencil and paper to write down his words. And after a few sentences, they just leave. They couldn't stomach it. You cannot write it. It's not linear. So they appeared and then they dropped. They just left the conversation. They could not listen. There is no space to listen. There was just writing down. Because what happens when we write? There's something. There's letters. There's like the eyes are seeing the letters. It's rational. So they came to his conversation to get something from it. And how do you get? You write it down. And they just didn't come. They did not appear, just left forever. They thought that they could make business out of it. Hello, Shabbat Shalom, Abigail. So good to see you here. What is interesting, in another way, that the books of Shamati I heard, yes, of Rabbi Baruch, is very interesting because the way of the deliverance of the truth, how does it work? You don't sit in the room and write the words. After the conversation is over, hour two or three, or even one evening or next morning, you write from hearing. This is a completely different thing. Write from hearing. This is why the book is called Shamati, I heard, not I saw. Ra'iti, as ra'iti means like I saw, as evidence in court. Yes, I heard as hearing. It is beautiful because when you sit and listen to conversations by Ramesh, you see people visiting in his home in 208, 209. The world was very different in those years. You see people are coming and sitting in front of him from all over the world, America, North America, South America, Europe, West Europe, India itself. All kinds of places, different kinds of occupations, people who are bothered all their life with questions that nobody could answer. And he sits with them because he was having those conversations every day in his living room, every day, almost 2 hours. And he's sitting with one person, maybe two in a row, but one and one being speaks to another being, and you see how slowly during the conversation, it doesn't matter where he or she are coming from, what is their experience or education. After 45 minutes, 50 minutes, everything drops. And there are tough cookies there in those conversations. People that think there is a businessman that come for 30 years, he's just going from Europe to India, searching for meaning, searching for spirituality. He visited every guru that he heard of for 30 years. And he wrote and he bought almost every book that was written about Hinduism, spirituality. And he sits with Ramesh Balsekar in his home and he quotes for Ramesh line by line from the book. And Ramesh let him just memorizing what his brain was learning. Let him take out the steam. And then after 50 minutes, he breaks him. Not that he breaks him by power or something, but he managed to crack, how do you say, the coconut of his brain. Very tough shell the brain is. You can see the expression of this man, so sad. He's so sad. After 30 years of going back and forth between Europe to India, meeting every guru, going to every ashram, buying every possible book, reciting every possible written book, he's still so sad. But once he was sitting with Ramesh, suddenly the walls of China in the head is just falling because he speaks the truth. And the truth is there is nothing. And you see suddenly the facial expression of this man, like you relieve from his face like 5,000 years of stones. And this is just one example because you see it is happening in a very friendly surrounding. This is India, Ramesh Balsekar living room. And it's also, Ramesh is very loving. He let people speak. He never interfere because he let them speak and then slowly they roll their concept that they have, that the brain has. And slowly he let them speak and he enter the conversation until the brain just falls to pieces. And they have relief. They have relief. This is also what happens with the conversation of Paul. Some people are calling him by the phone, and he let them speak for 20 minutes until they're just falling in themselves. Because, yes, Cindy. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. How do you do?
Very good. Thank you. Hello to Jill, Fernando, Abigail, Giannis, and Gladys as well. Happy to be here with all of you. One of the quotes I think that Paul Hederman may have said is, we have to have a sense of individuality to have a sense of free will, which that he doesn't believe in. There is like no free will. Something that's been on my mind, or maybe in my brain lately, is just the religion message that I grew up in, and I would like to kind of explain that here. I think a few of us would maybe say we have similar experiences, but in this Christian world, there's this idea that it all centers around Mashiach, Messiah, Yeshua, that we know the history, I'm sure, so his history, but that there has to be a personal, so there's that kind of individual, personal belief that, namely, Jesus, Yeshua, is Elohim's Son, only begotten Son that comes into the world in human flesh and form, and lived 33 years, and, you know, died on the cross, rose again in 3 days, and ushered in this new kind of new way, in a way, not leaving the old aura, although in my experience it was completely left, though it's just given word, you know, there's a word affirmations, but not anything real towards the Torah, but anyway, just that you have to believe in him. You have to make a personal decision. We would call it, or I would say they now, but would call it, ask Jesus into your heart, and then ask him to forgive you of all of your sins, and then you're saved, and you'll go to eternal life in heaven. The alternative would be an eternal life in hell.
And where does it go? What does it put you in the world of two? Jesus and me. Jesus and you. Yeah?
Yeah.
And then you become submissive to this imaginary imagination. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah? But the thing that even when I was a child, I thought, it just can't be, because not everybody knows this story, and not everybody will know this story, and it just, how can some know it and some not know it, and we can be okay with that? I don't know. To be honest, it's just a struggle some, and I know that that's a brain situation, but you know, just maybe you could speak to it, or the idea of Mashiach, and just that, what, you know, what is that? But this is the area that I probably right now think about the most.
Okay. There is a beautiful book, doesn't come to me, the author of the book, that American, I think he wrote it in the 1900s. It says something very beautiful about cultures, about dreaming. It says Christians, in their dreams, they will dream about Jesus. It's very common that Christians, they dream about Jesus. Muslims are dreaming about Muhammad or the stories, yes? And other cultures, they're dreaming about their heroes. You never hear about a Muslim that dreamt about Jesus, because Jesus does not exist as a concept in his life picture. Story is like dreaming. Dreaming is also whatever dream that you have is a frame. It's another frame, like the awakened life. And self cannot get out of self. And this is what I will put a book of this theologist after the session. He writes in his book, he doesn't say self cannot get out of self like Paul Hederman speaks, but he proves how every culture of civilization, the dream that they have is always concerning the culture or their religious belief. Meaning the brain also works when we sleep, and it brings the same picture, not the other, about self. Self cannot get out of self. So people of same culture will always dream about the same figures that they grew upon. So people will dream about, I heard that they were dreaming about giving the Torah on the mountain, or the seas opening. Each, let's say, fragment of the entire civilizations of human will dream of certain stories that they grew upon. Dreaming. What happens in dreaming? What happens in the dream? When somebody's dreaming at night or dreaming during the daytime, daydreaming, what happens? Which sense is most involved in dreaming? From all the senses, when we dream at night, what happens? Seeing. So what happens when seeing is happening? There's object, subject. Yes? So dreaming, whatever the content of the dream is, it's always about two. There's the seer of the dream and there's the dream. So there are two. Yes. So again, dreaming, yes, is duality. And the dreaming, who sees the dreaming? Who sees the dreaming? Who sees the dream at night? Who sees the dream at night? Yes. But Jill sees the dream that appears on her screen. Yes, and Yana see a different dream. Yes. Everybody's seeing a different, yes. Everybody's seeing a different movie, a different dream, a different mythology, beautiful mythology. Yes. But it's seeing. And immediately when you start speaking about the dream, it changes. Cindy said that she was told that if you believe in something, it's about trust in nothingness of the infinite. Yes? Trust the infinite. You don't have to believe in something. If you believe in something or someone, there's an object subject. Yes, there is too. Trust the infinite because it's nothing, and only from nothing you can come. True, there's also listening. You can unmute and speak, Fernando, Yanis, Cindy. If you just listen to the sentence, if you believe in someone or in something, it makes it two. Yes? And it's not two. This is a separated. This is also the source of separation. This, you have to believe in something or something. Yes? This is the source of separation. Yes. 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 Prayer, there's a beautiful article by Bauch. He says, what is the root of prayer in Hebrew is to incriminate the self. If there's a sense of individuality and so. So what is a prayer? To see that the self is finite. So in the prayer, we're incriminating the self, which is finite, and there's a space or the infinite. So this is the mathematics of praying. Yes? Incriminating, seeing what is admitting. Yes, that the self is a finite. And when we admit that the self is finite in a prayer, this we accept it. And then comes a space because for infinite to come. We don't need to evacuate space for the infinite to come because the infinite revives us all the time. It's just finally you have relief from the self in the prayer. Yes? Again, Yanis is asking, what happens in the prayer? There's a relief from the self. Yes? Because the self creates this condition that me and the world and so on, a private story, a private dream, religion, all of it. Yes, Cindy? Yes, there is. Yes, yes. Beterem ikre'u, before they call, I will answer. Yes. Because it's fastest. The brain is still active in space and time, and infinite is faster. Yes, because there is no time. Yes, this is what they say before they call. I will answer, because the brain operates in space and time in a matrix, but infinite has no time. You squash space and time, and there's no time, so it's faster. So whenever something, and this is what is so beautiful in being silent or listening, there's space and time does not exist, and everything is accelerated. Those conversations, they can save people decades of years wandering in the desert of selfie. Yes? This is what those conversations are doing. Instead of wandering in the desert of selfing decades, it's just shorten it. Yes. Yes. So, dear friends, so thank you so much for coming and being here with us today. Thank you so much. Wishing you a beautiful day, beautiful week, beautiful life, and see you here on Monday. We might add another session on Wednesday. If you have time, you can join. I'll write it a little text. Yes, if you have the time. Thank you so much. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Thank you for sharing this space with you. Shavua Tov.